so we pray, Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your presence. We know in whom we have believed and know who is here at this hour, that what is actually progressing, what is going on, Lord. We are conscious of that, at least in the sense that we do know from the revealed word, which is that starting place, to accept that mechanical revealed word until it finally comes to life within us in the last promise. The great mystery will not just be a word because it's there in the Bible and anybody can read it, but there'll be a people who are changed from mortality to immortality, and corruptibility to incorruptibility, and then to go with the risen dead to meet the Lord. These things we know are in progress, and we thank you for them, Lord, and by grace we believe we're a part of it. We pray you'll instruct us further in your word tonight, that we may not only know the truth, but rather also it might be enriched and enlivened to us. And then, Father, it might come forth in this hour in us, whatever you desire to come forth, Lord, which the prophet already indicated to be good Christian lives. We trust that shall be so. Bless us tonight, therefore, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated now. We're on message number 32 of leadership. In this message on leadership, we found Brother Branham bringing to these full gospel businessmen. And remember, this is the Laodicean hour. This is a chaff hour. This is a Pentecostal hour. Now, we're not naming them just because we might have an axe to grind with them. We could have an axe to grind with the Lutherans. At least the Pentecostals aren't dead. The Lutherans are deader than doornails. The Methodists, they've pretty well gone to prohibition programs, and I don't think they're worth a plug nickel, because it's likely you'll find they got as much booze under the table or down in the cellar as anybody else. You could also find great problems with the Lutherans, because they've pretty well gone back to Catholicism like the Anglicans. But what we're doing is looking here at the actual fact of the matter that Brother Branham, by vindication, pointed this out. And there's nothing you're going to do against vindication. I mean, that's what the Lord. So this is the chaff hour and the chaff people. And we're not anxious to club them. But the point is that he has gone to them, and this is the last message literally to them. And you will notice that the hierarchy of the Pentecostal church literally committed themselves to these full gospel businessmen in the strength that these men had a know-how. And they could take an actual business approach to the gospel. It's like the same old story. Give us the tools, we'll get the job done. Give us the tools, get the job done. Give us the tools. What are the tools? Money, 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 money. And when the money comes, ho, ho, ho. Just check out the guys on TV and the big programs. Just check it out. You have something like the Cancer Society. You got more people working for the Cancer Society Corporation. They got cancer patients. So with the billions of dollars coming in, I think they tell me 4% actually goes to the poor people. They really need care. That's marvelous. If I was going to give money anyway, I want to trace down where it's going to go. But you see, these guys here, they make all the preachers and everybody with these greedy dead eyes, they're fully enamored that, hey, we can have it all. We can have it all right here. And then they talk about the great rapture coming. And what they're trying to tell you is we can have it all, and we're going to make everything so wonderful, and all these promises come in, because the world's going to hear the gospel, everybody's going to hear, and then shall the end come. You see, they've got their eyes on a condition which says that the gospel kings we heard, and then the end will come. But they don't know the first thing about, behold, I send Elijah. So if you're like, for instance, you go downtown and you're going to buy a car, and this guy's shopping up to sell you a car without a motor. Well, good for you. Be a, Freddie Flintstone, and pedal your car. Don't be putting the pedal to the pedal to the metal, you'll be putting your feet to the concrete. I mean, this is ridiculous. But you simply can't strike fire with them. Except the fire of vengeance, so you don't like it. So he's bringing this message to the cream of the crop, the entrepreneurs, what do you want to call them, of the last day movement. Now remember, the last day movement says we're rich and increased in goods. So if there weren't a group of people at the end time wanting their great increase in goods and calling it a great blessing of the Lord, quoting especially John, beloved, I wish above all else may prosper and be in health, your soul prospers, and other scripture, like giving the shall be given, good measure, you know, pressed down, heaped up, and running over. But Jesus added a little bit of a different twist to that. He said, well, what measure you need? So if you're going to give nickels, don't expect God to give you $1,000 back. I'm not saying it couldn't happen. You give dollars, you get dollars. You get tens, you get tens. Twenties, you get twenties. Fifties, you get fifties. Now that's at the time that you're really trusting God. So there's a lot of things that these men are talking about, and they're fishing for people with greed. See? And so he's talking to them at the same time, and he's bringing the message that they could not receive. They could not comprehend. Now, they couldn't receive it because it wasn't for them. But perhaps there was a few amongst them that could listen. They couldn't comprehend it. You talk to people right today about this message, and they'll say, well, you can't preach Brother Branham from those books, and you can't? Then you don't know the message, and you're not a real Branhamite. You're not an end-time bride that's come to the prophet, because any man that says he can't do that, well, he might never have been called. That's why he can't do it. That's actually the first thing there. Next thing is, does he really know that he's got a contact with God through reality? And then he was thoroughly misunderstood. The message was thoroughly misunderstood to be a rebuke only instead of a correction. Now remember, correction goes to legitimate children. The illegitimate cannot be corrected. Now the correction, first of all, lies in the revelation of the Word of God, God Himself, to the people, and giving them an understanding. It's not the few things that they're supposed to do that are mechanical, that anybody can do. Because you can even extend yourself to the place of giving all your goods to the poor, just work yourself to death, day and night, and give everything. And every now and then you read counts in the paper how the people just live to help others. Now, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. The Bible says you can give everything you got straight off your back. Forget it. You're not born again. You can even give your body to burn. Forget it. You can come to a high place of philosophy, education, civilization. Just get the bare apex. It doesn't mean a thing. Run around mysteries. And I'm not filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't have a thing. You see, so they thoroughly misunderstood that Brother Branham came to bring correction and illumination. Now, let's just look at illumination here for a little bit. I'm not going to use that word. Paul doesn't use the word illuminated, I think, to the Galatians. But in chapter 5 of Ephesians, he said, ye be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ has also loved us, and given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for sweet smelling savor. Now watch what it says here. You can blow this verse of scripture, come out of the water, if you're just going to stay and put your own thoughts to love. But this love that we will have as Christ loved us is defined. Watch. And walk in love as Christ also walked in love. There's certain things he did, see, and loved us. And had given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. He's telling you that this love that was manifested by Jesus was a love which was already foreshown and foretold and foreknown in Scripture. And then we see the predestination of it. This love. So, a person trying to do anything, especially service toward God, without the definitive revelation, without being born again, he could find himself in a problem. Because now he's worshiping God, controlled of the Word, not in spirit and in truth, and his worship is in vain. In other words, it doesn't do one bit of good, doesn't profit one little bit, because he's got the traditions of men. Now, see, the point is, you can say, well, I believe love covers it all. Love covers it all? What are you talking about? Well, see, the point is that now abides faith, hope, and love, the greatest things of love. And you also know the scripture that what does he say now? That there's, the person loves, there's no sin. But they don't realize that they're not talking about this human love. We're talking about that which has to align with the word of Almighty God. But anyway, we've been all through that. But notice it, but fornication, all uncleanness, covetous, let it not be once named among you, become a saint. Neither the presence of foolish talking, or jesting, which is not convenient, but rather giving offense. For this we know that no woman, an unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance the kingdom of God in Christ. Well, it tells you right there that people are living those lives. They're not born again. The love of God is not in them. No, they shouldn't form. Let no man deceive, now watch, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And my question is when? Now, he said, it's going to happen. Now, he said up here, be your followers of God as your children. Make your life one of sacrifice. All right, now go back to the Old Testament. Every single sacrifice had to be 100% with the Word. If it wasn't, forget it. The place of worship, 100% of the Word. See, you make everything according to the power of the mouth. And then when Moses built the ark, God literally anointed men with the Holy Ghost, like Bezalel, who no doubt didn't know for 1 minute that he could do the marvelous things that his hands could do in gold and silver and brass. It's just like he was a magician. He was so anointed by God. It was a tremendous gift given him. So he says here now, let no man deceive you, because of these things come to the wrath of God upon the children's obedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now, let's go back to my favorite chapter, Romans 1. And let's take a look at it. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness in the name of all the truth and the righteousness. Now it tells you right there that they have the truth and they hold it back. They're like the cross dog in a manger. Like Jesus said, you don't go in, you want anybody else in. See? Because of which, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. In other words, the revelation that God has given every time is a revelation that can go right down into the soul. It's a revelation of true faith. Now, then it says, for the invisible things of him that created the world are clearly seen. In other words, no man has a right to be an atheist. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, they are without excuse. So now you've got two groups of people. You've got them that absolutely can see nature, and they have no right to turn it down. There are those that know in their hearts this is a revelation, and it doesn't say that they receive it. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful to him, vain in their reasonings, and foolish, their foolish hearts darkened. Professed themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God in image made like the corruptible man and birds and so on. So God gave more than cleanness with the lust of their own hearts, desire of their own bodies, and so on, right down the line. Now, see, as you go back here, it says, be not partakers with these people, unclean, covetous, unholy, and so on. Don't partake with them. Now, you were once with them, but now you are light in the Lord. Now, since you are, you walk as children of light. Now, children of light would never do those things. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Now, you know righteousness has to mean unrighteousness. That's a matter of worship. Now, watch. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, how can anybody prove anything? See, that's what you're looking at. See, how can you prove anything? People get together and they argue the Bible. They argue philosophy. But to prove something is that thing that you agree to. The precepts by which you live based upon whatever force you're depending on or believing in. That you're agreeing with these precepts have to do with this force. Now, how can you prove that your precepts belong to that force? Now, Spiritism does the most stupid thing, man. It is crazy. Anybody steals and believes any bunch of junk under God's high heaven. Now, these folk here evidently have had to come in contact with the proof. Because Paul says here, you were dark like this bunch over here in Romans. All these Gentiles, because these Ephesians are Gentiles. You're all messed up, filthy, just heathen to the core, and you know how licentious your worship was and everything else. What an ungodly mess. Now he says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So therefore, they understood Paul's vindication. Because while of you depend upon anything that hasn't been proven? Because look what they came out of. Now, if you can't prove that what they're into now is literally the voice of God, why would you give up what you're into? Because the fact of the matter is that you wouldn't have anything better. This is what being hard wild. Even Paul said it, this life only of hope in Christ will have been most miserable. You know, it's there. So, have no fellowship with the untruthful form works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, what grounds can you reprove them? That you've got a theory that's better than the other guy's theory? Now, Brother Branham came to the Shiites and the Jains, the Muslims, and he proved he was the living God, and it certainly wasn't Allah. My understanding, Allah is the name of the devil, now they make him God. He's still a devil. Even the writers understand that. It's a shame to speak of those things that are done again in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Now these things here we're talking about can answer the ceremonial parts of religion. Filthy sexual things have always been part of religion. And they always will be. Because that's where the devil's first trap was. Now, he says all these things are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever does make manifest is light. So he's talking about the fact that whatever comes forth as the true revelation of what life is all about and what the unseen is about and the hereafter, the reason for existence, all of those things have been proven by manifestation. In other words, You've got vindication here as it was with Moses, as with Paul, with Jesus, with William Branham, with the prophets of God, all of them. It's right down the line. See? Now, watch what he says to these people. And remember, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Now the vain words, which we saw in Romans, give forth to a terrible, filthy condition in the world. And it's not only a horrible, filthy condition, a natural beast made to be taken and destroyed, which is cannon fodder, atomic bomb fodder. You've now got all those that are religious and make all these claims of righteousness. That they don't do these things, that they're a good, godly people. See? Now, he said, awake thou the sleepers, and arise from the dead. Now, they're not dead, they're just sleeping. And it's the end time, when the wrath of God is going to come upon the children of obedience. Now, it doesn't say the children of obedience. It says the children of disobedience. And the disobedient child was born to Eve by her disobedience to the word of Almighty God. And so I was a bastard child. It's a perversion. So, awake, ye that sleep, and arise from bed, and Christ shall give you light. At the time of vindication or manifestation, the manifestation speaks back to the word. So that you know what word you are to follow. Now, Paul said there's many voices in the air. And no doubt he said they've got something to tell you, but of course, they're not going to tell us anything. Now, you awake, you that are asleep amongst the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now, you notice that follows vindication. If a person doesn't accept the vindicated prophet, they're not going to have any light. That's what I'm driving at here in this message of Brother Branham. Then it says, seeing that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. See? Now, he's not talking about foolish virgins, even. He's talking about these foolish people. Now, only you notice, only the wise, which are your wise virgin, are going to get in there. Redeeming the time for the day's evil. Be not therefore unwise. Now, don't even be foolish virgin. But understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now remember, the foolish virgin, the oil leaked out of their vessels. And their vessels could not contain the oil because it was an old message. See, they didn't realize, as Brother Brown has said, if there's going to be, if it's a true healing revival, a new message follows. So all right, these people could not understand that Brother Branham was a source of correction and illumination for the last hour. Now, very, very few people did. In this message, Brother Branham revealed the presence of Elohim himself and proved it by the vindication of the ministry right under Deuteronomy chapter 18 and Romans 15, 18 to 19. Now, Deuteronomy is Moses' vindication. Romans 15, 18, 19 is Paul's vindication. That God himself was present and appearing in signs and wonders, and declared by a prophet was entirely alien to them, so that in no way could they accept 1 Thessalonians 4:16, which is also 1 Corinthians 15, which is the Lord himself descend from heaven to shout to put his own church in order, getting all things under the feet of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, the all things under the feet of Jesus Christ has got to be a bride. So he's going to bring forth the entire bride, the Gentile bride, unto Jesus Christ. Wherein God himself had come down to take full authority over his church, and thereby had removed all authority and of leadership from every single person except the one mentioned in Revelation 3 and 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. Which, of course, is Revelation 10, 1 to 7. The mighty God himself coming down at that time. This, in turn, was now John 14, 8 to 12. So let's go back and read it. All right. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, it sufficeth us. Jesus said, I've been so long with you, and you have not known me, Philip. He who has seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Okay. Believest thou not him and the Father in me? Now, just looking at him, forget it. Just forget it. Anybody could say that. Any philosopher. Any deadbeat. Anybody who wants to come along and make a name for himself. And they're doing it all the time. And the funny thing is, goof out, crazy people believe in it. You drop here the truth, they look at you, and tell them some crazy, stupid thing. Hell, I like that. I mean, my God, this is pitiful. Believe it's not all on the Father, Father me. Now, here springs it. The Father, the words that I speak unto you. I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. And he doeth the works. So right here, Jesus is telling you that he doesn't talk except by God's authority. There again, how can Jesus be God? Because what authority does God need to talk? Amen. He's the authority. So he's omniscient, omnipotent. Believe me that I am in the Father in me, or believe me for the very work's sake. In other words, he's putting the thing out here, can you take this all in one lump? If you can't, hold steady and go back to Moses. Didn't Moses say that? There is one coming, with thus saith the Lord, whose vindicated ministry will make you know that he's Messiah. Doesn't every prophet have to come that way, vindicated of God? Now watch in 12. There was him who that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, this is the end time. This is the Alpha, but now we have the end time. And this, of course, is Matthew chapter 12, if you want to go there sometime and read, read a minute many times. Now, there can be no doubt that this great ministry for this time, this great ministry of vindication and manifestation, which is to bring light, to prove that it's God, then to prove you're hearing from God, is John 1:1-2. We have to read it all even. The beginning was the Word is with God, and the Word was God, the same thing with God. All things were made by him, but there was not anything made that was made. Now, you can go on down further, and we'll just go to verse 18, though. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Now, the declaration, or the leading forth in words, is simply the explanation, the revelation of what God himself is visibly doing, though God himself is not visible. He's making himself known, and he's bringing his light, his word of revelation to the people. Now, you notice in here, in the bosom of Father, that word is like a harbor, where an enclosed. The Son is completely enclosed by the Father. There's a completeness there that is a unity that is wonderful to look at, but it is even more than that. It is the thing that Brother Branham said, that he was in a pipe, a straitjacket. Now, never forget that Jesus was a prophet. This is what people forget and forget and forget. And they forget that David was a prophet king. They forget that Samuel and Moses were part of the great Levitical priesthood that God had ordained. And you will notice that the priesthood was absolutely under a prophet. And you'll notice absolutely that when Jesus came on the scene, not of the Levitical order, he became the order of Melchizedek from the tribe of Judah, even as David went into the temple and ate the showbread. and was perfectly legitimate in doing it. So now we can see the change of Christ's priesthood, which we're talking about, and see it there. But the main thing we're talking about here is the fact that William Branham was a prophet in the mold of every other prophet. Now, people, of course, don't like the fact of a Gentile being a prophet. Well, I have no scripture anywhere, nor does anybody else, that God Almighty has to raise up a Jew to be a prophet. It's not so. So, what we see here in Brother Branham's ministry is God veiled in human flesh in a prophet, bringing an end time Omega message of predestination, even as there was an Alpha bringing forth Isaiah 41:8 concerning John the Baptist, and Malachi 3:1, and also Malachi 4, turning the hearts of the children of fathers, which is explained in the book of Luke, chapter 1 and verse 17, which you found in many, many times. Now, they do not have a clue to this. And if they read it time after time, it wouldn't do them any more good than a man that I know whose wife simply couldn't see the message, who one day locked in the room and talked for 2 solid hours, and by the time he's blue in the face talking, she's blue in the face for holding the breath in. And you better believe, as far as I know, she never made one step to this message, even to this day. I don't know if she fights it, but the point is, you simply cannot take someone by the scruff of the neck and put them in a straitjacket and say, I'm gonna force you to do this. Now, you can actually build those people, but you wish you hadn't. It always backfires. Now, Brother Branham could actually place himself in Moses' power and then identify with John 14:12. And not only that, but he that has seen me has seen the Father. And singularly reveal himself to be Revelation 3:20 was well over their heads. And we wonder if anyone caught it. It is doubtful that those leaders had a clue to anything he said. They simply repudiated him and believed that they as a group were greater and capable, more capable than he. And they only suffered him because of Brother Carl Williams. Brother Branham was to them a disgusting, despised person, and I happen to know because people sneered about it. In fact, Jack Moore's daughter, understand, sneered one night at Jackie and called your little God with Tim Peter or something. William Branham was not a person that people enjoyed on the grounds of his ministry. They could enjoy him. Now remember, his ministry was declared that he was here. And to declare that a person is here without revealing him is the stupidest thing I ever heard of. So it's impossible to get reveal him and bring forth the word of God. Now, little did they know that in rejecting the messenger and message, they had rejected God and the restoration of the world, loudly proclaiming that they saw and yet remained blind, their sin remained with them. Now, let us face reality. A new message by a vindicated messenger demands new hearers, new believers, new followers and doers of the word. A new bride was born and is now being formed and fashioned by God alone and not by man or men. Now the judge knocked at the door, but they refused. And even now the scripture is fulfilled. If a man sin against man, the judge will judge him. But if a man sin against thee, O God, who shall plead for him? Leaving them without a mediator or an intercessor. Bible distinctly says, he that receives one shall I send receives me. Then the opposite's correct. Whosoever receiveth not that I send rejects me. And rejects the Father that sent me. Now, before we start reading, we're going to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 23, which precedes 24, which is that great chapter on the end time. And in verse 27, it says, Even so, he also will he appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. That's these scribes and Pharisees, his last day of organization of men, his businessmen, Pentecost. And you say, what right have you got to compare them with those people back there? Because that's what you see. In the Omega, this is what you see. This was the Alpha. And who was it that wrote the big doctrine in the back of the little book? The poor gospel businessman. You're a Trinitarian and you're damned, because we say so. We're the poor gospel businessman. And Brother Branham exposed them all as liars. And did Jesus only? They're exposed. But they don't believe they're exposed. They forget Brother Branham's vision. When Mr. World came by, Miss Oneness, not quite so chic, a little dowdy according to Miss Trinity, who cut her hair off and curled it and then mush and crud all over her face, high heel shoes and skirts past her knees and all that stuff. Miss Oneness comes by with long hair, long skirts. But buddy, she couldn't pass up Mr. World. Ooh, and he winked at her. She led Brother Branham in a hurry. She turned for just a split second and looked back, and then, boy, she was only too glad she went on. Now, Brother Branham said, I am not oneness. Now, why would he be oneness when this oneness rejected God? Tell me. The next thing he says, the big revelation of the seven seals is there is one God. Then the oneness didn't have it. How come they're having to re-examine what they believe? Who wonders between? Well, you're not your Jesus only. That's all. You think they get it? They don't get it. All the Trinitarians were in Jesus only, and Jesus only don't stay that way. I wonder if 3% of the Branhamites have any clue. I can talk myself black in the face. I can read every single scripture. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Oh, brother, baby, you're preaching to God. Oh, brother, baby, you're preaching to God. Now, I can't make this man Jesus God because he's not. How can you be between something? How can you be between two posts when there's only one post? Somebody's nuts and not me. Someone's corrupt and preaching the devil's line. I'm sure not doing it. No, you businessmen. This is this last Wednesday day of the Sanhedrin. Yeah, we got together, oneness and Trinity. And I'm going to tell you something. The oneness hated Brother Branham like the Trinity never could. They were glad to see that lying prophet killed. That's the report of one guy, anyway. All right. When you scribe those hypocrites, because you build the tombs of prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. And so we had been the days of our father. We would not have been partakers with them, brother the prophets. Wherefore, be witness to yourselves that you are the children of them that kill the prophets. Fill you up then the measure of your fathers. In other words, they're the same stuff. You serpents, well, what are you calling? You serpents. Serpency. You generation of vipers. Now remember, this generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. That was back in Jesus' day, now it's in our day. And what did he call them? Serpent seed, snakes. And the word generation means this kind of people. The serpent seed generation shall not pass away. Now the generation of God will. They're going to get out of here. But this bunch are going to be right here. You serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I sent to you prophets. Now watch. Why would God bother to send this bunch of dirty birds, prophets, and wise men and scribes? Because in there is a few sheep. You can't tell a sheep from a goat, Christian-wise, looking at them. The Bible says at the end time, even the false prophet looks just like sheep. That's going to make a better picture. Yep. In fact, pretty soon we're going to find people are going to, in the Jesus who eulogize a lot of their great men above David. They're doing it right now. They're already calling David a sleazebag. Yeah, I was amazed if it had been the prophet King David. He wasn't a sleazebag. He just overly rambunctious. What were you paid for his sin? I was your judging him. And pretty soon they'll be telling you all about their great men. I suppose the Ludovitzers will bring another musician on the scene or something. You know, they're voting the Messiah every so often. And you talk about the Catholics voting in a Pope. And the Jews voting the Messiah. Nor did I say that if I thought John the Baptist was Elijah, William Branham would get my vote. Everybody's going to vote in Elijah. I wonder what office I could stand for. The best loved person? You can forget that one. I don't care. They hate me, that's all right by me. Now he said, now here you are, your prophets, those that bring the word, wise men handle the word, scribes write the word, and some you kill and crucify, some you scourge in your synagogues and persecute in city. Now what? That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth. Now watch. From the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechiah, whom he slew between the temple and altar. Now that took place at the end time under Titus and all, when God took his hand off. They said, that the blood be upon us and our children. Believe me, it was. Oh, yeah. And every place they go, there's problems. The other said, you, all these things shall come upon this generation. But your serpent seed. See? Now watch. To whom did he come? He came to the majority of serpent seed bunch of people. Loudly proclaiming they were the Christians. Not the ones that believed the Messiah. Loudly proclaiming they were the children of God. They should know the word. They were responsible and they could produce it. Now you're not going to differ from the end time. There's a generation of vipers. There's serpent seed. Natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. Eight people made the ark. All the rest are serpent seed. The Pope, Pope's virgins all killed off. Now, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets. O Babylon, Babylon. Stone is them that are sent unto thee, often I gather thy children together, even as a hen gathers the chickens on the wings of wood not. Now here the scripture comes and said, look, I came even to you. And not one of you listened. But the sheep hear the voice and the economy. Now what is it? Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Now that's exactly true. For I send you shall not see me henceforth. You say, blessed he that comes in the name of the Lord. So is a little seed going to come forth at the end time? And that's what you're looking at now to Israel. So, we can start reading here the last little while. On page 39, God doesn't deal with organizations. He doesn't deal with groups. He deals with individuals. That's right, always. Not in groups, individuals. One person. In the last days, he said, I stand at the door and knock, and if any, not any group, any man, singular, will hear my voice, I'll come in to him and sup. See? If any man can hear. Now the point is this. People can say, I can hear. Well, prove that you can hear. Give me a miracle. If nobody can hear God except the prophet. Many people tell me they hear. At one time I was under the same delusion. The point of the matter is that your auditory nerve can be jingled and jangled by the Holy Ghost, but you're out hearing God. You got to be like Paul, William Branham, Moses, Samuel, men of that particular caliber, great prophets of God. Now watch what he's saying here now. How could this microphone not produce my voice out there unless it was made thus? How could I possibly hear and bring you the voice of God unless I'm made a certain way? See? I could scream against that door with all my might, but it wouldn't do anything because this is ordained. His microphone. I'm ordained and made and created a prophet. The word microphone's there. But I'm changing it because that's what it's all about. And if the word of God is in you from the foreordination of God in you, my sheep hear my voice and they know my hollow, that's my cry. They know who it is in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, wants to bring a message across. A stranger they won't follow. Now Brother Brown is telling you flat here, if you're a sheep, you listen to him. And if you're not, you won't. My sheep hear my voice. See, it's got to be that first. Now what's the first? You gotta go all the way back to the beginning. Where your conception was in the mind of God. Where your foreknowledge was, followed by election and predestination. For all that the Father has given me will come. Every one of them see. Now notice what he says here. Revelation 3:21 is William Brown. Now if you're a sheep, you'll recognize that William Branham is the voice of God to the people. That he is God to the people. That he can stand up as a prophet, just like Jesus the prophet, and claim, he that has seen me has seen the Father, because God has declared himself, or revealed himself, or appeared in these mighty signs and wonders. See? Now he goes on at life's end here. Notice when he comes to the end of the road. And we're closing now because it's getting late, 25 minutes to 10. Notice. Now at home, that's early. About 2 or 3 o'clock, you begin to say, it's getting a little bit late, see? But now I preach many a night, all night long. Paul preached the same gospel in his day, and a young man fell off a wall, killed himself, and Paul with the same anointing, and that same gospel laid his body upon him, and he came to life. They were interested. The church was being formed. Something was taking place. Notice what had taken place here. Now, the infant church, Brother Banner said, was formed in 1955, I believe, the conference, those five stars. And he quit praying for America, about 1956. This rich young man, when he came down, the young ruler we talked about, are religious, and belonged to church and everything, fine, educated, fine, businessman, everything. When he came to the end of the road, he began to scream. There's nowhere to step. Where's his leadership? He had been led by his church, which is dead. He had been led by the dead world, and there was nothing for him to step into but what that world had prepared for it, which was hell. Now, Brother Branham is very seething here in his comments because he's talking to these people. You can't stand up and run this message of his in the light of who he was and what he himself proved to be. Because he was with proof, vindication, God spoke back to him. And he says, you guys are preparing this world for nothing but hell. But boy, you got it all figured out. When that final step is taken, you're going to find you don't have any leadership. Now come on, just sit here and think about it. Here's Demas, the great man of love. Rich man. Another fellow manufactures plows, he's got a lot of money. Another man said, well, I'm probably the richest man amongst you. Now, we're not just sermonizing here, we're actually looking at God and what he's doing. When they rejected the prophet, God told the world. There's nothing left. See, they still don't believe that he that receiveth whomsoever I send receives me because they don't believe he's going to send anybody. Because bless God, he sent the Holy Ghost, and I got the Holy Ghost, and that takes care of it. Well, bless God, prove you got the Holy Ghost. You going to talk in tongues? That's the big thing right there, the big talking in tongues. What does that do for him? Now listen to what he said. See, this rich man, when he came down, the young ruler he talked about, religious, down to church, everything, fine, educated, fine businessman. Who says that? Businessman, yeah. Everything came out of the way, began to scream. There's no way to step. Where's his leadership? Somebody led him, his church did, which is dead. Now these Pentecostal progress and businessmen, they're only uttering what their own church believes. And being Trinitarians, they're happy to step on the Jesus only. And let them know we are the big shots. We were with. You were the Pentecostal oneness bird. So you forget it. Yeah. We're the big ones. Now, we'll play a little snooker with you, a little game of pool with you, oneness, just to show you we're friendly. But you better believe we're going to put all the balls in the pocket. We want all the games. You can play on our tennis court, you don't have one, but we win all the games. Yeah. You want to come and admire us? Fine, we just love admiration. Well, not really. See, we're humble, let's see it. I said the right thing first. Where's the leadership? He had been led by his church, which is dead. He had been led to the dead world. The world of the dead. Remember the world of the dead that Brother Brown saw? Those women with eyes like cats coming up out of hell with the eerie hoo hoo sound. I saw that on television, the Danny Kaye program. They painted just like cats. They came right toward the camera to look into these eyes. Danny Kaye played out. He was a Jew, by the way. Hollywood places are usually run by him. I'm not a Jew hater. Let's just face facts. They still don't know the key to the whole mystery. It's just rolling with the gold. They talk all they want about anybody. If they get that key, they haven't got it. But I saw that on TV. Lost souls. And there wasn't anything for him to step into, but the world had prepared for it, which is hell. How'd you like to stand there and be told that if you're a full gossip businessman? In other words, this is not just a message, brother, sister. This is a judgment from God. This is a pronunciation. Right throne. It's all over. They don't even know it. But here comes Moses, a faithful servant who esteemed the reproach of Christ's greater treasures than all the riches of Egypt. He came to the end of the road, an old man, 120 years old, walked up by the mountain. And he knew that death laid before him. And he looked over into the promised land. He looked, and laying there by his side, there was his leader, the rock. He stepped upon the rock, and the angels of God packed him away into the glory of God, into the bosom of God. Why? 800 years later, he was still being led by his leader. Sheep hear the voice, and they follow. The sheep hear the voice, and they follow. Is that right? And when you step from this life into the next life, you die, the sheep hear the voice, and they follow. People talk about lights and a lot of things. Brother Bannon talks about the voice. We find him over on Mount Transfiguration, standing there with Elijah, talking to Jesus before he went to the cross. 800 years after his death, the one who esteemed the reproach of his ministry greater treasures than all the popularity of the world and all the money of the world, his leader was still leading him. Oh, my. He was led. His leader. He led through the death, the shadows of death. He led to the grave. Hundreds of years later, there he stood again, because as his youth he had chosen the leadership of the Holy Spirit. His name will be great when there is no more Egypt or treasures, when the pyramids are dust. And when Egypt is no more Egypt, Moses will be immortal amongst men because he accepted the leadership of Christ instead of going the way his church went. Now he's talking to these men. You're going the way of your church. You are all assemblies of God. You got too big for your britches. You even don't even pass anything but a bit of crumbs to your oneness brethren, yet they talk in tongues the same as you do. Claim the Holy Ghost. But they're both dead wrong. Both dead wrong. Jesus only is dead wrong. Brother Banner says so. Even baptized wrong. See, your Christian, your baptism doesn't make the difference. It's understanding the truth of the Godhead, which they turned down flat. Amen. They just don't have a clue. There's others that did the same thing. Look at Enoch. He walked with God 500 years, then he had testimony to please God. God had verified it and said, there's no need of you dying, just come up home this afternoon. And he went up. Now he's talking of this hour here. And they're talking at the same hour. Hey, there's a bunch of people not going to die. And Elijah, after bombing up bald-haired women, ooh, that must have been a good one, and everything, as he did in his day, Jezebels with paint on them, and after he got so full of it and had done all he could, and all those priests making fun of him and everything else, he walked down the river one day, and just across the river were the horses hitched to a bush over there, chariot of fire and horses of fire. He stepped right on and threw off his robe to the next prophet to follow him, went up into heaven. He accepted the leadership of eternal life because it was Christ that was in Elijah. Oh, yes, sir. Well, that's the anointing, God's Spirit in Elijah. What was it? Follow me. Now you must choose your leader. You've got to choose it, friend. Look in God's looking glass, the Bible, and see where you're at tonight. A little story. A little kid one time lived out in the country, never seen a mirror. And he came into the city to see his mother's sister. She had a home, and the old-fashioned homes used to have mirrors on the door. I don't know whether you remember that or not. This little boy had never seen a mirror, so he's playing around the house. He looked in the mirror, huh? He looked at little boy, and he waved. Little boy waved. He pulled his ear. Little boy pulled his ear, and on like that, he kept walking up close, and he turned and said, Mama, that's me. That's me. And Brother Brand said, look in the Bible and see. Well, now, which do you think they said, this is me, Moses or the rich young ruler? Well, they never caught on at all. We're all Moses. We're all sheep. What do you look like? What are you following? What have we done? You must choose your leader. Choose today, you choose life or death. Your choice will determine your eternal destination, what you choose. Remember, Jesus said, follow me. And you're invited tonight to do so. And to follow him to eternal life, you must come on his terms. That's right, his word. Not upon the creed. Not upon the public opinion. Not upon what somebody else thinks about it. But on what God said about it. Now, there again, you got the point. What in the world did God say anyway? Well, you're going to have God come on the scene somehow and tell you. Now, I realize that they'll throw this in our faces and say, well, just a minute. You mean to tell me God's got to come on the scene every single time? That's not what we said. There is a time when the word is restored. Remember, the life keeps going up, though the part of the plant keeps dying. There's that little life in there that keeps coming up. But there comes a time when the word must be restored. And that time is the time of the harvest. And the Bible speaks of it, and these same people speak of it. And when the truth or the true revelation of what they are speaking of comes to them so they can be a part of it, they turn it down flat. In fact, as I said different times, they were disgusted with Brother Branham. They did not want to hear him, did not want him around, and the only places he went was when someone like Carl Williams or Jack Moore invited him or somebody else, and usually those people invited him wanted Brother Branham to come because it was a drawing card, and they said, well, he'll bring the people, then we'll take care of that. In other words, they were going to use him to their own ends. Well, what if Brother Branham was a true prophet of God? You're going to use a true prophet of God to your own end? Except that that end be that you believe the word that he brings? If you're going to use him just to back up your own creeds and dogmas and ideas, my God, I'll tell you what, they're going to pay for it. They'll pay for it. I've often said you can buy God for nothing at this time and sell him for billions,
But one day he's going to come back and demand interest. He's going to demand payment. When he does, it's going to be a different story. And to follow him to eternal life, you must come on his terms. That's right, the word. Not upon creed, not upon public opinion, not upon what anybody else thinks about it, but on what God said about it. The prophet is God to the people. You say, well, Brother Branham, I know a woman just as good as she can be, and she does this. I know a man that went through this. In other words, now they're all going to match experiences and tell about the great things that they've done for God and all the great things that God has done through them. And they're going to just talk and talk and talk and tell you, oh, hey, I know Brother Branham had a ministry. Oh, my, but I want to tell you something. It's like this woman. Now, my wife's a very nice lady, but she does make some terrible mistakes. And one of her biggest mistakes is just being too nice. So we had this woman from, I won't tell you her name, from out west come. And I had the table all set up. My wife could sit by Brother Branham. I could sit on the other side. And so this woman, she figured, well, it'd be nice if she could talk to Brother Branham. So Allison gave her place to her. Stupidest thing she ever did. The woman got a hold of Brother Branham's ear and went, yip, but her great ministry of nothing. So Mama blew it. She might not like that, but the fact of the matter is, your niceness doesn't matter to nothing. Not being nice and kind and this and that counts. Although that's good. I'm not against that. Like people going to church, fine. At least they're not going to a beer parlor shooting people up. And they go to be better people. That's true. And while they're there, they're likely a little bit better than elsewhere. But the point is, that's not life. You can't hook God up to nature and all the things that are a part of nature. You can't hook God to anything. And you cannot hook to God. It's only if you are a part of God and God hooks to you. Sheep hear the voice. Okay. Yeah. Now, I can't help what they did. God's word, he said, let every man's word be a lie and mine be the truth. Now, just a minute. Now, this is a statement that would make anybody's stomach turn. If you didn't know who William Branham was. Because he's saying, I can't help what they did. God's word. He said, let every man's word be a lie and mine be the truth. Now, this could be just a man standing and saying, my brother, sister, I refer you to the Bible. When I refer you to the Bible, here you're going to get your answers right here. Now, I'm not the one going to tell you. But I got news that this is the word of God. I believe it. Generations have believed it. Now, it's in here. Go to the word. They said, merciful God, we've been doing that for 50 years. William Branham, I've been doing it longer than you've been alive. He's not saying that. He doesn't on one hand say, you messed this up, and I mean mess this up. And you're a mess. You're trying to be leaders. You ain't fit to lead. There's nothing leading you except the world of creeds and dogmas. You're all going to suffer for it. Now he comes along and he says, here, let every man's word be a lie and mine be the truth. Now, let's put this with John 14. The ministry proves that I have God speaking in me to you. And anything you say contrary, or anything any man says, is a lie. So, Brother Dale, men can say the most marvelous thing. Oh, shut up. Hey, it's drama. That's sophism. People pretending they're wise. You've got to come on his terms, come on his conditions, the word. Well, I said, I've been doing, I talk about the blood, I've been speaking in tongues, all of these things are mine. Where do you think I got them, William Branham? He's the man that says nothing outside of this message will come to light. You cannot come through creed. I'm not coming through creed. You cannot come to damnation. Well, oh, see, that's bad. You cannot mix it like that. Who's mixing? I'm in the denomination, but I believe in the word. They believe in the word. My preacher says so. I said so. My society does.
There's only one thing you can do, accept it on his terms.
What do you mean, accept it on his terms? That's what I do.
That you're willing to die to yourself and all your thoughts.
Say, look at my brother Branham, I've been doing that. You, Brother Branham, you irk me. In fact, you talk as though nobody's got anything but you.
Amen.
He's a liar. This guy, he's for the birds. My God, can't a man have a ministry and not get puffed up and be an idiot? Can't even talk right, this guy. You know, these guys begin fighting, don't you? You think for 1 minute that they were just sitting there? He? Oh, come on. The devil never sat around without jumping into battle with God's people. Even take on God himself. I'm giving you their reaction. Listen, don't kid me, because I've talked to people. I know a guy who can't take this period that William Branham had it. And William Branham never, ever said nobody else ever had anything, but he said, this is my ministry, and I am that one. Ain't nobody else got it. This is the beginning and the end of it, the next time it goes to Israel. Now, they're trying to raise up Joseph or somebody else. The kid's smart enough to run. In fact, I'd leave the country if I was him to get away from that goof-off stuff. When Brother Branham said, if you saw twins, one of them's a phony. You know, the two vines. Now we've got somebody falling, Brother. Oh, come on. There's no more messengers. You've seen your last sign. If there's going to be another messenger, there's got to be signs. You've seen your last sign. Well, the last sign's the last. Two last trumpets. Well, they made 16 more resurrections there, which... See where you go? You go crazy with stupidity. See? Now he said there's only one thing to do, accept it on his terms. I'm doing it. And you won't need to die to yourself, you know, all your thoughts, and follow him. Get rid of all the things of the world and follow me. Now, this is not a discourse on conduct. It's a discourse on theology and the Word of God that you dare not even put your tongue to, as though you have anything to tell anybody, until you know you're 100% right with the author. Because life and death are in the power of the tongue, and one word change, that's it. Now, do you think for 1 minute they worried about that one word or anything else? They worried that William Branham had the message? They said, forget it, the guy's crazy. That's why Dubin said, judging prophet, he got judged himself. Oh, boy, that was fun. One guy called himself a prophet, Brother Dave, and he said, God doesn't smear his prophets across the road. I said, he fed them to lions, and they were dumb on the ground. Hey, I've got an idea. Let's make God in our image. Now, how many hands do you think he ought to have? Now, I couldn't ever grab enough with two hands. We'll give him at least four hands, right? I could never run faster than 2 feet. I'll give him 4 feet. See where I'm leading? Forget it. Let your mind rest. Let your body rest. Let your soul rest. If this isn't it, what am I going to do about it? What if your body was born without a certain factor? What are you going to do about it? You may do your dead level best to live. But if that thing is missing and you'll die by the time you're 24, you'll die by the time you're 24. What are you going to do about it? If the world is all a complete mess and there's only one place in the universe that's fit to live on, is the moon. How are you going to get there? I like the song that just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed from the old Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am without a thought, without a plea, without anything. You take me as I am or forget it. Now God says the same thing at the end time, doesn't he? Take me as I am or forget it. We're finished talking. No bargains. Mm-mm. It's the last contract. The one from heaven is spoken for the last time. The next thing is consuming fire. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, Malachi chapter 4. Go through your Bibles. Every time you see fire, it's the end of the great tribulation fire. Judgment because of the wickedness of mankind, the rejection of the word of Almighty God. I know that's a stern cutting message, brother. Oh, no, that's not stern. We love it. We preach that to people all the time. Yep, come by the Bible. Hallelujah. One God, two God, three God. Not too many more. Oh, yeah, we preach about it. Oh, Brother Branham. There must have been a lot of gnashing of the teeth that night. Or later on, there sure had to be. Or maybe they just burnt the tape. I don't know. That's a stern cutting message, brother. But I didn't come here and choose a message to the people just to try to make them sing, shout, or holler. I've been in heathen meetings where they did the same thing. That's the hauling and the jumping and that. I'm interested in your life. I'm a servant of God that's got to answer to God someday, and the ministry that God has given me has vindicated itself thousands of times before you. Whew, my. When dying men preach to dying men, they're different. It's different. Presence. Remember, Jesus said, follow me, follow me. Get rid of what you've got and follow me. All right, now, what did they come by? They came by the gospel. Everybody has to come by the gospel. What happened? Back in the days of Paul, there was a changed gospel. Now they're coming by another perversion. Get rid of it. Don't ever talk about it again. You'll never be dressed as a bride. Yet Sealy's going to dress everybody as a bride with his old Pentecostal garbage. And they love it in the brand of message, so-called. And the guy in Tucson will preface anybody's book that defies the word of William Branham he's supposed to believe in. You sitting here the same way tonight? You don't really believe? It's up to you. I'm a dead duck. So, Brother Vail, I thought you were a live eagle. True, but I'm a dead duck. I'm sitting here like fish in a barrel. I denounced all these things from the letter A to the letter Z. And what have I got? I can't produce anything. Oh, yes, I can. I can produce William Branham's message if God's in my heart. Follow me. Get rid of what you got and follow me. Your Pentecostal demonstrations, the evidence and all of these things, put it to one side. It's the only way to have eternal life. That's the only remedy he gave this man. That's the only remedy he gave this businessman. It's the only remedy he gives anybody. His choice. He makes a decision. He's perfect every time, and we must follow him. What was the decision? William Branham was part of that decision. Revelation 10, which is the seventh seal. Malachi 4. Right down the line. And we must follow him is the only way to have eternal life. So the leadership of God is follow the vindicated. Now he's hit it. Now in one nutshell, he tells him, he blows the whole thing plumb out of the water. So the leadership of God, what is it? It's this follow the vindicated word of the hour by the Holy Ghost. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Doesn't say one more word. So I'm finished. Do what you want. Look, I know there are times we get to the place where it's just like I'm criticized so much. Well, Brother Bale is all pedantic. It's all in the head. It's just mechanics, so and so. I don't believe that for 1 minute. Let me tell you something. If you don't have the perfect mechanics, the dynamics is not going to fall on it. William Branham brought us the perfect mechanics, proven by the marvelous dynamics, that it had the right to bring the mechanics. Now, since the Word is a conduit of the Holy Ghost, how do you get really full of the Holy Ghost? Piling word upon word upon word of this message, life, 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 and more life. Well, Brother, I don't know. Well, I do know. Because the prophet said so. If it's not working in you and me, forget it. Be Pentecost. A little more shouting. A little more this. Do what you want to do. But with outside of that, reveal true word. Now remember, you can memorize this thing down pat 100% quoted just like William Branham. Every quote, a photographic mind, everything else, in a tongue that is beautiful. And go to hell with bells on. The point is, do you have a true revelation by the Holy Spirit Himself?
Yeah. Nobody can prove it tonight. The foundation of God stands sure, having to seal the Lord, know them that you're His. That's all you can do. That's all you can do. You can do no more than believe, and in your believing, adding word upon word, more and more full of the Holy Ghost. That's the individual and the church, and one day we come to the stature. And by the leadership of God, with that spirit that's in us, takes us up, becomes incarnate to us, we count a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's a great day coming, Brother, Sister, marvelous day that lies just ahead of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your time you gave us tonight. We ask you to bless us now in the following service of foot washing and communion. We know, Lord, that only you can do it. We're asking for your help. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. All right, let's rise at this time, shall we? We're not going to do a lot of reading. I'm just going to read. The brethren come forward, lay the elements out, read the scripture, and then we will just begin the service of the communion service. John chapter 13 for the minute. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come to be, he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which in the world, he loved them unto the end. And the supper being ended, the devil now having put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and went to God. In other words, all things in his hands meant every decision now was up to him. Up to him. As Brother Banner said, God actually left him in Gethsemane, the garden. So, all right. Every decision now is in his hands. Will he ask for 12 legion of angels? Will, in other words, will he use what God gave him? Or will he rely completely upon God now? Do you know such thing? He had his heyday. He had his glory day. He escaped out of their hands. He had a great ministry. And he said, God is in me talking. God is in me doing. I and God by my Father are one. This is evident. Now that the glory, the heyday is gone. Now he's facing this. What's he going to do? Put it right back in the hands of God. He's not going to make one decision. Say one thing or do one thing. That is outside the same permission, the same authority that God gave him. Why? Because he is the obedient son. Now, all right. He rises to supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself, poured water in a basin, began to wash his disciples' feet, to wipe him in the towel where he girded. There come a Simon Peter, and see, Peter said, Lord, why, what dost thou wash my feet? And he answered unto them, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter said, thou shalt never wash my feet. In other words, Peter esteemed Jesus so highly that he just couldn't believe for 1 minute that that man would possibly do that. He said, I can't let you do that. It wasn't he didn't love him or anything. He loved him too much in a wrong way. If I wash thee not, there's no part with me.
Well, that really got Peter right now. And Peter said, Lord, not my feet, only my hands and my head. He said, if that's the case, give me a bath. He didn't want to miss anything. And you'll find this fellow here may be precipitous, but he didn't miss anything. He's a tremendous person. And Jesus said, he that is washed need not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and you're clean, but not all. And he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, you're not all clean. So after he washed their feet, taking their garments, set down, he said, know ye not what I've done to you? You call me Master and Lord, for ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. In other words, esteem people more highly than yourself. Be always happy to do something for somebody. And remember, this here is not a necessity wherein you find someone lying in a ditch, you find somebody starving. No, it's not that at all. This to me is like those daily kindnesses that we can do. Remembering people, just being on the watch out to do something nice for somebody. Thinking nice thoughts, saying nice things, doing nice things. Sowing and reaping. Notice he said, I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. In other words, if God begins to move on you with great ministry, don't think you're somebody. Don't ever think you're somebody. Big programs, big this and big that. Judas, he already had the money to have a big TV program. Yeah. They're getting very slick now, these televisionists. What do you call them? Televangelists, yeah. They are saying the servant is not great than his Lord, neither is he that sent him. Neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. See? I speak not of all of you all. I know whom I have chosen, for that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that betrayed me lift up his heel against me. Now what's happening here? This fellow's getting out of complete order, vicious. He's coming against God. He will come against God's people. There's nothing too evil for this fellow to do. He's a make-believer. He's a devil. Yeah. He said, I've not chosen all of you. There'll be those that will come against you. They'll be able to destroy you. Take your ministry, take everything you got there, the reason you can't destroy you. That's a Judas. If Judas wanted to take Jesus' ministry, his life, every bit of his influence, everything else. Oh, yeah. He wasn't content to have a ministry that God gave him. He had it. He was only content if he could go ahead and be the queen of the ball. Well, he got to the wrong ball, I can tell you that, like that rich young man. Now I tell you, before it come to pass, when it come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. All right, that's a little lesson on foot washing. And we're not going to read about the communion because we understand what Jesus said there. I've read it many, many times. And then you notice after that, after foot washing and communion, Jesus gives the mightiest revelation of God in man and the Godhead in clarity that was ever known up until that time and was lost for 2,000 years roughly until Brother Branham came on the scene and we find the truth restored. So, all right. That's good. Would the brethren come forward then? We'll pray with the elements, and those that are going to partake first, we'll go ahead. All right, let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we commend ourselves and commit ourselves to your care during this service, Lord, that not one of us dare reproach against thy great name or reproach against even ourselves, Lord, on the grounds we had witnessed to what we have no right to witness to, or witnessing in a wrong way concerning the life that is of Christ Jesus our Savior. Forgive us our sins, Lord, we pray, in any animosity, during judgments, or anything that we might have within ourselves, toward ourselves, toward you, or toward each other, so that we might be at real peace and draw strength from you tonight, Lord, as we partake of these elements, also knowing that in the foot washing service we're symbolizing again the fact that there is no one great. The great one amongst us is God himself, and already here.
And we ought to, in honor, prefer each other and consider each other more than ourselves. And do those things, Lord, that can be gracious and beautiful in the context of the fact that we are living with each other as brothers and sisters, and therefore should expend our time, our energies, and our efforts upon doing those good things which we can do rather than engaging in anything, Lord, of any other description. Help us to see that tonight, that we must busy ourselves and do about the Lord's business. For the days are evil, the days are short, and the time is running out. And we should redeem the time, Lord, with all the possibilities we have in the Word here, in the power and strength and the might that you give us. So let this be another service of dedication and humility, Lord, unto thee. We give thee glory in Jesus' name as we pray. Amen.